Good morning. I am back. Many of you are wondering, you're gone? But 3 weeks ago, I had knee surgery to replace my ACL. And so that's why I say I am back. It's by God's grace that I am here standing with two crutches before you this morning. And I've learned so much about going through surgery and rehab and so forth. And there are just two things, though, I wanted to share with you that will probably speak to both of you, or to a lot of you guys. First is that through prayer, God is glorified. Through prayer, God is glorified. The reason why was getting a surgery date for my surgery was actually extremely difficult. It was either the morning of June 25th or it's going to be the end of August. So it's kind of like this two different things. And I was like, okay, you know, the doctor told me they're trying to get some OR off hours there. But I said, okay, you know, I'm just going to pray. And then it dawned on me, it's like, I should ask other people to pray for me. You know, I should really ask them to gather around, and we're going to pray together that June 25th would open up so I can get my surgery. But it takes faith, though. Because what happens if it didn't open up? But I was like, oh, I'm just going to send it out, and we're going to see what happens. And I sent out the email, and we prayed, and the Lord opened up June 25th for me to have my surgery. And so all those who were on that prayer list, we praised God together and thanked him for opening up that time for me to have surgery. The second, though, was along the lines of being a recipient of God's miraculous healing hand. What I mean by that is I hurt my knee and I took an MRI, and the MRI revealed that I had torn my ACL completely and that I had done damage to my meniscus, and that I had to have two procedures done for my surgery date. And after surgery, the surgeon called my wife, and he said, hey, you know, surgery went smooth, don't worry about it. I replaced the ACL, no problems there, and I didn't have to do surgery on the meniscus. So when my wife told me this, I'm like, did he really have to just go golfing that soon? Come on, you know, is he not doing the full job right now? So when we met him 6 days after my surgery, I had to ask him, so what happened with my meniscus? And he said, yeah, you know, I went in, and he actually showed me these photos, which I was kind of disgusted about. But he's like, yeah, see right here, this is the area that it was torn. But as you can see now, it healed. And so my next question to him was this. So, okay, how often, you know, what are the chances does this happen? And he said, there's about 5% chance that it would heal on its own. And I was like, that's crazy, okay? And he said, your body did it. You know, your body healed itself. And my wife and I were there, and we both nodded our heads. We're like, not my body. We knew who healed me. And so for every one of you who were just praying for me, it's just really just, you know, just to answer a prayer. You know, God is a God who's gracious. You know, God who answers prayers, a God who heals. You know, even if he didn't heal my meniscus, I would still say, you know, God is a God who is up here, who watches over us, and a God who answers prayers. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys as a church family, because I know so many of you have asked about it, been praying for me, and just really have cared for me so much, and for my family as well. So hopefully you're encouraged by that. But this morning, we continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark, and arrive at an account of Jesus doing something miraculous as well, as a means of displaying his glory and his gospel message. He's going to take 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, and he's going to feed 4,000 people. Wow. And it's our passage this morning is very similar to another passage we just studied a few weeks ago about the feeding of the 5,000. But there are some unique differences to this passage. And I don't know that there are many caring souls out there who are thinking, is he really going to preach a whole message on crutches? Well, the answer is no, the elders aren't that ruthless, okay? I'm going to share about 11 to 12 minute devotional. We're going to be hearing from other people as well. So this morning service is going to actually be a little bit different than our usual services that we're used to on a Sunday morning. But our 10 minutes, or, you know, our 10 to 12 minutes that we'll be studying this passage, the focus is going to be on evangelism and on missions. And that's the backdrop behind Jesus' account. And when we talk about evangelism missions, I wanted just to give you two quick definitions so that we're all on the same page. Evangelism is simply this: sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, with another person. That is solely what it is. Evangelism is sharing the gospel with another person. And missions is this: is going to another culture and evangelizing. Okay? So it could be going to another country, or it could be going to just a different culture in your town and being able to share the gospel with others. That's missions, how we're going to use those phrases this morning. And again, that is the backdrop to the passage we're going to read this morning from Mark chapter 8, and I'm going to read in verses 1 through 10. So if you will join with me, we'll read this together. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, seven baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. And that is our passage this morning. And what we're going to do is just take a quick look, take four brief observations from this passage as it relates to evangelism and missions. So observation number one is simply this: Jesus did missions. Jesus did missions. What we do is find out, is like, if you take a look at verse 1, it just has the phrases, "in those days." And it was Mark's way of just saying that Jesus is continuing what he had just done in the beginning. So if you look at the previous chapter, verse 31, that's what he's referring to. He's saying that Jesus is still in the region of the Decapolis. For those of us living in America, it doesn't really mean too much. But during Jesus' day, the Decapolis was an area populated by many non-Jews called Gentiles. And if you remember, Jesus' primary audience as he shared the good news, though, was first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And this account is the first time that Jesus begins to share with Gentiles on a large scale. Because up to this point, he's ministered to Gentiles, but on an individual basis. And now this is the first time he has a huge crowd of Gentiles, and he begins to teach them about his message, the gospel message. And so Jesus goes. He goes to a different region that he's used to, outside of the Jewish territory, and he goes and ministers to another culture. We are all called to evangelize and be a part of missions. If you are a Christian, then the name evangelist should be associated with you. Our goal at Lighthouse is for everyone to have an evangelistic heart for those who are near and for those far away. That's our heart from the elders, is that if you call Lighthouse your church home, that you would want to be an evangelist. It's not just for the Sunday school teachers, it's not just for the elders, it's not just for small group leaders, but it's for everyone at our church to begin to grow a heart to want to share the gospel with another person. That's our goal here at Lighthouse, is that each of you would want to share and will share with others. And that leads us now to our second observation from our passage. It is this: Jesus had compassion for the lost. Jesus had compassion for the lost. For verse 2 records Jesus' emotions: "I have compassion on the crowd." Jesus cares. He loves. He has a great desire for these people who wanted to stay with him. And it's very easy to gloss over verse 2, but verse 2 says a lot. It says, when we take a close look, we understand why they didn't have any more food. Because the crowds didn't plan to be with Jesus for multiple days, but Jesus' message, his healing, and his love captivated them. Can you imagine? They had heard about this guy, Jesus. He heals. And people just go out there and they want to be healed. But they thought they were just going to just turn around and go back home. But they were captivated. They were captivated by his teaching. And they couldn't go. They were saying, I'm healed. I can go back home, but I want to stay here. I'll stay one night. I'll stay two nights. And on the third day, they're still there, wanting to listen because they were so moved with this man who was teaching the way to salvation. Jesus has compassion on these people who are so thirsty to hear about how their souls could be saved from their sins. A pastor wrote about this verse. He said this, "What is so strikingly evident is that Jesus is not only himself the great sympathizer, but also wants the disciples to share this compassion." This is why Jesus asked him, so what should we do? The reason why he now turns to them is not that he himself is at a loss of what to do. Is he not the one who has previously taken care of a similar situation? The master addresses the disciples in order to awaken them to their responsibility. So thoroughly must the disciples take to heart the problem faced by the hungry multitude that they, these 12 men, will say, it is our own problem. We must do something about it. Without compassion, can a person be a true follower of Christ? Very moving words when I read that from this pastor about this passage. Do we have compassion for people? Especially the lost. Jesus did because he made it personal. He was willing to get his hands dirty. He was willing to interact and to step out of his comfort zone. We must be willing to let God touch our hearts for the lost in our neighborhoods, in our families, and for those around the world. Observation number 3. Jesus provided faith and food. Jesus understood that every person's primary need is a spiritual need. It's a need to wash our sins away, but we can't do it on our own. This is where Jesus comes, and he is the only one who can wash the crowd's sins. Your sins, our kids' sins, my sins. He desires people to come to him in faith so that their sins may be washed away. But Jesus also let his compassion not only provide spiritual salvation, but physical needs, such as food. He makes the crowd sit down, and they have a banquet of all-you-can-eat bread and fish. It's a celebration. People are celebrating because they're healed. People are celebrating because they're made sane. They're celebrating because their stomachs are full. And therefore, yes, these miracles validate Jesus' claims of who he is. He is the Son of God, the Savior of our sins. We must always be willing to share the gospel, but we must also always be willing to display the gospel in our lives by sacrificing for others. We all must be willing to sacrifice the comforts we enjoy so that others may enjoy the comforts of knowing Christ Jesus as the Lord and Savior in this life and for all of eternity. That is what Christ is calling of his church. Are we willing to sacrifice what we have so that others may know Christ and honor and worship him? God has given us so much here in the South Bay. For each one of us, we have so much. Are we willing to sacrifice some of those things so that Christ may be known to others? And observation number 4. Jesus used something ordinary to display the extraordinary. Jesus simply used 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, very ordinary items, but think of the result. 4,000 people were fed. The crowds could travel back home full of energy. There were 7 baskets of leftover bread And verse 8 says, they ate and were satisfied. The crowd wondered. Matthew records this as Jesus was healing the people right before the feeding of the 5,000. The crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. This is what's going on. And now every single person got to personally experience Jesus' miraculous hand as their stomachs were filled with bread and fish. But do you know what happened? The next morning, every single person woke up hungry again. But those who placed their faith in the Son of God may have had empty stomachs, but they had satisfied hearts. They genuinely understood the firsthand illustration that satisfaction for one's life can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, using simple, ordinary things to display the extraordinary God of who he is. God used Pastor Kim's planning and insight to orchestrate a passage that speaks about evangelism missions. Tomorrow, we get to send off our team who will be going to Thailand on a short-term missions trip. After service, we're hosting a bone marrow drive for those of you who want to volunteer to see if you would be a potential donor. And there are still many short-term missionaries who are preparing to get ready to go on their summer trips. It's just a wonderful time of how all these different pieces fit together for this service. And so in the next 20 minutes or so, you're going to hear and watch four different snapshots of people from Lighthouse evangelizing, going on missions, and providing for people physically as a means of displaying the gospel. My prayer has been that you will be challenged to think about our four observations, and in particular, observation number 4, Jesus used something ordinary to display the extraordinary. God uses summer breaks. God uses our schooling. God uses servants' hearts. God even uses our own bodies. Very ordinary things, but with a heart focused on Christ, he takes these ordinary things to display his extraordinary glory. I hope as you listen and watch that God will continue to grow an evangelistic heart within you. The first person who will be sharing is Kelly Shin. The second is a video from last year's Mexico home building team. The third is Cindy Kobayashi. And the fourth will be Jared Kira. So I'm going to ask Kelly Shin to come forward, who will be sharing now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kelly Shin. For those of you who do not know me, I'm a nurse from Gardena. I'll be going to Tegucigalpa, Honduras from August 16th to 24th this year for a medical evangelism mission trip. And I'm so excited as this is my first missions trip. Ever since I graduated college, I've wanted to serve in a medical missions trip, but could not find a solid organization emphasizing the evangelistic aspect of missions. Going to nursing school and after I became a nurse, my heart grew for those who have very limited access to health care because of poverty and corruption. Through brothers and sisters from Grace on Campus, I was able to learn about World Gospel Outreach, an organization dedicated to serving and reaching the poor for Christ. God increased my desire to serve the poor and unreached people of the world through scripture and prayer. He made me understand that we need to be fishers of men and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost, as stated in Matthew 4:19, and to be accountable before God for how we meet the needs of others, as shown in Matthew 25:31 through 46. In addition, he encouraged me through brothers and sisters who not only helped me learn about different ways to serve, but supported me along the way. I am so very grateful and overjoyed for this trip, as it would not have been able to happen without God's working hand, as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ around me who support me daily. I truly believe God works in mysterious ways. Through my sharing of our mission trip with others, even non-believers at my workplace, I have been able to initiate conversations about religion, the gospel, Christianity, and God. How wonderful our God is to move the hearts of those around me to grow in curiosity about my trip and give me an opportunity to share the gospel. I've been praying ever since I was saved for God to give me the boldness and confidence to not fear man and to share the gospel with others. Through this missions trip, God has been really answering a lot of my prayers as my heart has been transformed to want to talk about God to those I would have never imagined bringing up this topic back then. I hope that my sharing about my missions trip and God's work in our missions trip has opened up your hearts as well to maybe start thinking about or even growing more in your desires to share the gospel with those around you. I want to encourage you to pray for an evangelistic heart, believing that God will one day answer your prayers. Thank you very much.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Cindy. I've been coming to Lighthouse for about 5 years now, and I just wanted to say what a huge blessing this church family has been to me and how thankful I am to have this family. So thank you guys very much. This summer, I will be going to Thailand with a group of 14 of us from Lighthouse. We are going with Zoe International, an organization that brings the good news of Jesus Christ and rescues at-risk children. We will be there for about 12 days, and throughout our trip, we will be doing various things, such as serving and playing with the children at the Zoe Children's Home, teaching English to young adults at the Bible school, and participating in outreach events that will include worship, crafts, games, and a Bible lesson that includes the sharing of the gospel to children in elementary schools and villages. When I first heard about this opportunity, I wanted to go for many reasons. I thought to myself, why not? I'm a school teacher, so I have summers off, and I wanted to use my vacation to serve God and others. I wanted to be able to see how God is working overseas, and by experiencing God's work outside of my little Southern California bubble, I wanted my own worship of God to deepen as well. But since then, God has been teaching me more about why missions and evangelism is so important. These last few months have been really busy for me. Between having a busy and challenging school year to being involved in different opportunities to serve at Lighthouse, my schedule was pretty packed. I got through each day writing out to-do lists and being the nerd that I am, feeling a great sense of satisfaction when I was able to cross something off my list. I would define the success of each day by my productivity level, and as each responsibility was fulfilled, I would quickly move on to the next thing. Though all these things I had been doing were intended to be of service to the Lord, I was totally caught up in the doing of tasks and forgetting the importance of pointing people to Christ. About a month ago, I was grocery shopping and ran into an old family friend who has been coming to my family's house every year during the holidays. Year after year, my parents would share the gospel with her, and year after year, her response would be a polite Japanese nod and a disinterested smile. It was pretty discouraging at times, to be honest with you, and I would often think about how pointless it was to share something over and over to someone who wasn't even interested. But as we small talked at the grocery store that day, she told us about how she was starting to read the Bible my parents had bought her a while back, and how she had so many questions about what she was reading. Although she hasn't committed to the Lord quite yet, it was so encouraging for me to see someone who was initially so disinterested in the gospel grow such a desire to learn more about God's word. God used the short conversation that day to remind me about the centrality of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3, Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." In his book, Living the Cross-Centered Life by C.J. Mahaney, he writes, "Paul is pointing us to the one transcendent truth that should define our lives. In the midst of our various responsibilities and many possible areas of service in the kingdom of God, one overarching truth should motivate all our work and affect every part of who we are. Christ died for our sins. Without noticing, I had let so many other things become the main thing in my life instead of the gospel. He reminded me of how people's souls are so precious and how we ought to share the gospel with others because the gospel should be of first importance to us. I realized that even as I had been preparing to go to Thailand, I was focusing so much on the programs and logistics of the trip rather than our priority to make disciples and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that God lovingly pointed me back to the importance of the gospel and his love for people. I'm so excited to be able to take these reminders with me to Thailand and to remember that as we run different programs, teach different classes, and meet different people, the focus is about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ out of love and encouraging those we interact with to grow in the gospel. Thank you so much for all the support and encouragement you all have given us as a team. We're so grateful to have this church family and to know that we are partnering together to share the gospel with those in Thailand and also in growing an evangelistic heart wherever God has placed us. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jared Kira, and I have a letter from Candace, and I'm going to read it for you guys. I think this morning in early service, people thought I was getting emotional, but I'm actually just sick, so I'm not getting emotional. Candace writes, I wore a shirt the other day. It's a shirt I regularly wear that describes how I approach life now, 2.5 years after cancer. Printed across the front of the shirt reads, Outliving It. I received this shirt at a young adult cancer survivors camp where I participated in a week-long kayaking adventure with 14 other survivors. Tears filled my eyes as I began to think how much God has poured out into and blessed my life. I'm alive. I'm healthy. Before cancer, my life lacked discipline, diet, and exercise. Cancer opened me up to a whole new way of being. It helped me to look at life in a healing way. I just completed my first marathon in April, and I'm training again for a second marathon this coming October in San Francisco. It will have been 3 years after a male in his mid-30s helped to save my life. What better way to celebrate health than by running a marathon and finally meeting Jared and his beautiful family? Jared's love, time, and sacrifice is the reason I'm here today and able to tell my story to others. It is how I'm here to encourage you to help as well. I never realized the truth in the saying, we are not guaranteed tomorrow until cancer tried to take my tomorrow away. I'm now attending the University of Texas in Arlington, majoring in broadcast communication as a news reporter. I'm part of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Speaker Bureau, and I regularly volunteer for Be the Match. My husband now has someone to grow old with. Our son doesn't have to hang on to the memories we once shared, but we can continue to make new ones. And most importantly, my faith and love for God is stronger than it's ever been. Be the match. Be the one to save a life just like Jared helped to save mine. And you can tell Candace is a fighter. And just as she started her third bout with cancer is when I signed up at Lighthouse. And it was last minute. But I would encourage you to do the same thing. It's an easy way to share the gospel and to evangelize. And it's not like the old days with finger pricks, big needles, drills. It's really easy. Today is just a cotton swab in the mouth. And if you do get chosen, it's just like giving blood and having the flu for a couple days. It's really easy. It's hard for me to read this letter because it's easy to fall into a kind of a self-promoting type trap. You know, I did my good deed. Jared's my hero kind of thing, right? But it's not about that. It's about God and his gospel. As a sinner, that's how I would look at it. I would say, look what I did. Look how I helped this person out. But it's about who God is and his grace in my life. I can look at it from a biblical perspective. It's God who saved Candace's life. It's God who sovereignly had me sign up for Be the Match on a Sunday morning. It's God who gave the doctors and nurses the ability to help heal Candace. This extraordinary God saved my life and gave me the desire to share the gospel and evangelize. And you can do the same through Be the Match. I like how she ends off her letter. My faith and love for God is stronger than it's ever been. Be the Match.
You've been able to see four different snapshots of people from our church have an evangelistic heart. You can see how we talked about the observation number four, taking something ordinary and using it to display the extraordinary God we believe in. We've seen, you know, being able to use summer breaks or being able to use our hands to hammer nails in, to being able to even just use our own bodies. And I joke around with Jared saying that his body is the giving tree. He's been able to give now bone marrow. He's been able to give a kidney and to other people, and what a blessing his body is. But it just shows kind of this different mindset for us as Christians is, do we always have this mindset of wanting God to be glorified and being able to bless others in all that we do? And that's what we talk about for an evangelistic heart, is always seeing an opportunity to share about the glorious God that we worship and love. Because it always goes down to sacrifice. Christ sacrificed so much for us on the cross so that we may have life. And the same thing can be said for us. Are we willing to sacrifice so that others may have the opportunity, or may have the opportunity to know about that wonderful news as well? So I hope that we would all be encouraged through this. And it's not, you know, so-and-so or, oh, wow, look at how special they are, just what Jared said, but it's about what a great God we believe in and love. So there's different ways we can be involved, you know. There's so many applications. We can just go around the room and just say, you know, do this or do that. But, you know, it's simply one of them is, I'll just give you a few of them. One is just this, asking the question, is the gospel the most important thing you treasure? Does it show in my desire to share it with others? It's a question that I've had to ask myself for numerous months. If the gospel is so, if the most important thing that I treasure in my life, does it show in my actions? Does it show my desire to share with others? And there's many, many days it doesn't. It's very convicting, but I just have to say, Lord, help me, help me. Another could be just being involved, just saying, hey, I want to follow these short-term missionaries. I want to follow the Thailand team. You know, the Thailand team is going to be blogging every day on the Lighthouse blog about their trip. Just following them, keeping up to date, and just asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you lead and guide me in how I'm to pray for these individuals who are going out. Another could be just after services, just going out to the bone marrow little table and just saying, I want to be a potential donor. And just saying, Lord, I know it's going to be a sacrifice, but if this is an opportunity for me to be able to share the gospel with someone else, let it be so. So go out, and there's a table out there. You can just get a swab, and you just kind of wait and see what the Lord does if he matches you with someone else. And the last, just simply pray that God would give you opportunities. Say, Lord, in the morning, just, Lord, help me, give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone else and see what the Lord does. And Lord, also give me the boldness and courage that can only come from you to be able to share when the opportunity does arise. Again, there's so many other applications from this, but I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to each one of you about how you are to apply this truth that you've heard this morning.